In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things came into being, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him is life, and the life was the light to all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light. He was not himself the light, but came as a witness to the light. The light was in the world, the light that enlightens everyone. The light was in the world, and the world did not know him. The true light, which enlightens everyone. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the stable. This is the stable, this place, this people, here. This is the meeting place of heaven and earth. This is the stable in which God keeps his appointment to meet his people. This is the place where we know God present with us, where God's life is placed in our hands for us to nurture and allow to grow. This is the stable. Now, our conceptions of stables and what they might be like are probably different for each of us, and probably all very different than they were in the time that Luke's Christmas story was written. They are bound up with our ideas of inns being full and stories of innkeepers that are way beyond what Luke actually wrote. But in the years after the Jesus resurrection, those who knew him and loved him and followed him began remembering and discovering stories about him. And when what they knew and what they remembered and what they imagined might have been were put together with what they believed was true about Jesus, traditions about Jesus' birth were established. Let me remind you what Luke wrote. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It's a story that's fairly scant in details, and I don't think there's any way to hear or tell the story of Jesus' birth without adding details to those bare facts that we are given. For it's our imagination that allows us to engage with the story we hear and to really take in the glad tidings it tells. Those whose business it is to study the times and customs of first century Palestine remind us that an inn was not what we might imagine, an establishment that took in strangers, but more likely the room in a family home where guests could stay. And the manger not in a stable that was separate from the home, but in the part of the home where the animals stayed. Still, I like where the innkeeper and the stable story take us as we imagine ourselves into the story. I think the reason that the innkeeper and the stable have become such a central part of our story at Christmas is because they connect so well with what we know about Jesus during his ministry. Jesus, the one who had nowhere to lay his head. And it foreshadows the failure of so many people to grasp the good news that Jesus came to bring. From the very early days of Christianity, the animals were there. This story has been connected with verses from Isaiah. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And we hear the echoes of those animals in the stories that we read. We hear them in our carols. Ox and ass before him bow, the cattle are lowing. And we hear echoes of the rejection of Jesus by God's people in the reading from John that Jill just brought us. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own and his own people did not accept him. But whatever it is that we might imagine, or we might know, or we might think about a stable, or even a cave, or even the lower room of a house, I'm sure that there were animals there, with all the attendant smells and sound that we now keep at a distance. We keep our animals in a safe distance from us so we don't have to put up with those smells. Animals then, though, were very much part of everyday life and provided warmth as well as smells. One of the books I like to read at Christmas I take devotions from, there's a piece that starts off, "There was no snow. Flies, yes. Snow, no." Sometimes our depiction of stables sentimentalise and sanitise the stable and the story. They make it clean and pretty and pious. But we 21st century people put a lot of time and energy into managing our lives, into controlling as many variables as we can. We work hard at trying to keep the chaos at bay. We are faced with more than enough realism in the news, and sometimes we just like to be able to concentrate on something that's good and pure and beautiful. And so sometimes we choose a sanitised, clean and tidy stable, something that can seem quite detached from our lives and the life of the world around us. And in that sort of stable, God, it seems, comes not in the messiness of our life, but in some strange place we can never quite get to. But this is a stable, here, in the midst of our lives that can sometimes be comfortable, but are often messy and sometimes just stink. This is the stable, the place that God comes to us. There is no waiting for things to be tidied up and made pretty. No need to get things under control. No need to wait for our lives to be perfect before God comes to us. This is the stable, and this is the time. Luke's nativity story begins with attempts to order and control. It's set amidst a census, which is an act of ordering and counting, put in place so those in power would be better able to exert that control and power. But this really is only background for the story Luke tells us. For Luke sets his story elsewhere, not in the centres of power, but on the fringes of society, amidst nobodies, in the midst of the reality and messiness of everyday life. This is the stable, here. And we who fear that we cannot get things tidy enough, who fear we are not perfect enough, find ourselves holding the life of God, being trusted with allowing the life of God to grow among us and become good news in the world. Let me share a story with you. Every year, Durham Cathedral hosts many carol services. There is one, though, that never ceases to move staff and volunteers. Although it has exactly the same script year by year, it is always fresh and powerful. The members of an organisation called MenCap, which supports people with learning and intellectual disabilities, present a nativity play along with their family and friends. They form a tableau while a narrator and cantor tell the story and the congregation joins in the carols. The costumes are fabulous, the acting is simple, and the tableau is created by a series of processions down the cathedral aisle, first of Mary and Joseph, then of a host of angels of all shapes and sizes, followed by equally assorted shepherds, and finally wise men, with page boys to help them. Perhaps it's starting to sound like one of those sentimental sanitised stable scenes, but there is a reality to this carol service that goes beyond this. One year, the cathedral waited expectantly as a wise man laboriously hauled himself out of his wheelchair, stood on tiptoe and tottered forward for a couple of steps, held safely by the person who'd been pushing his wheelchair. He was determined to place his gift at the feet of the baby. The devotion was palpable. And it is that baby who year by year speaks powerfully of the meaning of the incarnation and the risk that God took in being born among us. When Mary and Joseph are seated at the manger, a young mother carries her newborn baby the length of the aisle and places him or her in the manger at the feet of two people who are too vulnerable to care for themselves independently, let alone a baby, but who depend on the care of others. Then the mother walks away, leaving her baby there. Her action is more eloquent theology than 1,000 words. It's what we hear God doing in the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph were not, perhaps, as vulnerable as the actors in the nativity play, but they lived in an occupied country in violent times. God risked all to share our life so that we might share God's life with the world. This is the stable. Here. Here the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the stable. Here, in the messiness and disorder of our lives, even when we feel we've run out of hope, or we've lost the idea of peace and joy, or we think love has left us, people will put flesh on God's love for us and just share our messiness. And we know Christmas again, the reality of God's love living among us. This is the stable. And in this place, in our lives, in the messiness and disorder of our lives, God becomes flesh and comes among us with grace and truth. So we who thought we were not yet ready, who could never be perfect, so that we can be partners in the divine purpose of sharing the light of life with all people. God became flesh. God becomes flesh in us, so we too can be bearers of hope and peace and joy and love to those whose lives are truly chaotic and confused, and with acts of love and kindness echo the joyful songs of angels and the life of the baby whose birth we celebrate. This is the stable, and here God comes amongst us and entrusts us with God's life. Angels sing of peace to all people. Justice is born in the heart of a child. Love and joy have come now among us. Let Christmas bells ring out loud and wild.